Radio Detox is back with, I think, the ultimate detox guest right here. Ivy Lumi, you probably should know who she is, but if not, you've come to the right place. It's great to have you on, Ivy. You've got a lot going on, but I want to concentrate on your music, first of all, and the message of the music and kind of how you got into, I don't want to give it a name. I mean, we've been calling it on Radio Detox, the Value Verse or V for V. We've been calling it this for like a year and a half. And I don't know if it's the best terminology, but I'm going to leave this up to the musicians like yourself. And you have this great new EP coming out. You've got a fund going on Geyser. And I supported today, so I'm excited about that because I get a Noster badge for it. So I'm just super excited to talk to another woman in Bitcoin who loves Noster, who loves music and marketing and all the same things that I do. So I am just geeked out to talk to you today, Ivy.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, really looking forward to this. Always down to talk about music and love.
This is awesome. Okay, so should we just like get into what you've got going on? You've got probably one of the coolest Bitcoin kind of music videos. Like, well, it's not a Bitcoin centered music video, but I love the music video for Wow, Wow, Wow. Can you tell me how
thank
you made
you so
this
much.
Video? It's just, it is so creative.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'm so glad you like it. Wow, Wow, Wow is a single that I released in December 2025, so it's only been a few months. And then the music video has been Ivy Lumi's first ever music video. We actually shot the music video in Hong Kong after Bitcoin Asia last year that I was leading the production of. So that was a little bit of break after the big conference, and we were wandering around Hong Kong and taking some footages. We already knew that I will be releasing Wow 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 in the next few months. So we wanted to make something that's authentic with the traditional style of lip sync music video. But at the same time, we have so many really great artists in Bitcoin. So I've been for Wow Wow Wow, the music video, I collaborated with creative director F-Zero and Zaza Wawa, both Bitcoiners, help me co-create this dream world. They're both really cool visualists. And then we did the storyboards together, and then we did the transitions together, and all of these coming together to reflect a world where reality and the dream world blurs on the love standard, basically.
I love that. I love the video. I love the music. I love the message. Love is the cure. And, you know, you love love. So I do too. I mean, what woman doesn't love love? This is why we're here, is to choose love over fear. That's my philosophy anyway. It's always love is greater power than fear. And so is Bitcoin. You know, it just kind of ties in. You know, Bitcoin is hope. It's love. It's everything but fear. It's the opposite of the nihilism we see in the world today. Is how much does Bitcoin itself, like the philosophy of Bitcoin, how much does that influence your music?
I would say it inspired me to ask a lot of questions. I started working in Bitcoin very luckily about more than five years ago. So it's been 5 years. Time flies. I got into the Bitcoin industry on a whim, without industry knowledge. I wasn't a Bitcoiner. It was back during a time where you could still get a Bitcoin job without being a Bitcoiner. So I got lucky there. Then I quickly became orange pill. Maybe like it took me 3 to 6 months to really have that pivotal moment and realize, wow, Bitcoin is not just about money. Because personally, I never liked math growing up. I was bad at numbers. I don't like to think about money. Yeah, like it caused me a lot of stress, right? Just like a lot of other women out there. And for the longest time, I, just like everybody else, I've heard of Bitcoin because at this point, you must have been here or there. But I never really thought that it has something to do with me. And it's just very separate worlds we're living in, because it's not like tomorrow I'm going to quit my job to build a rocket, because that's not my arena. Like, that's not my specialty, or that's not my interest. So I thought Bitcoin was just one of these things that they exist and they have their community and great for them. But it's not something that I could personally relate to, or it's not something that I could take use of. But that was very wrong. And I really sensed this sense of responsibility, because I feel like, wow, I got so lucky to have stumbled upon Bitcoin the way I did while I wasn't into technology or finance or whatever. And I'm sure there's so many people just like me. There's so many people that are just like me. They don't really care about, or they're not necessarily tech savvy or finance savvy, but they would be freedom maximalists just like I am. They would be into love and freedom and want to better ourselves and become the best version of ourselves, just like a lot of us. And these people already intrinsically have a lot of ethos, or is very aligned with Bitcoin ethos already. So I was thinking, how can we encourage the next adoption curve for the community? How can we bring more people onto the Bitcoin standard? And my personal answer to come for that question is not more Bitcoin content, not necessarily more Bitcoin content, because we already had so many. And before I started doing music, I have a Bitcoin podcast, which I still do to date. Talking about the lifestyle aspect of Bitcoin, which I realized. But then on top of that, I started to realize what next? Because even Bitcoiners, we're struggling, because there's so much trauma and sadness in us. And if you're early enough to have realized what Bitcoin is and have participated in that standard, then I can only imagine there's even more grief, there's even more anger, maybe even more trauma, because that's how you found Bitcoin in the first place. And I see in our world, like, everything is so chaotic, everybody is upset, and there's so much like anger and frustration, and you can see just merrily walking on the street. And there gotta be a better way to do it. And I'm a very sensitive person, and I remember myself growing up feeling depressed if I watch news on TV. And yeah. I feel
even
like,
worse
oh,
now.
This, I realized that I want to be surrounding myself with positivity, with art and love, instead of negativity, speculation, or like arbitrary whatever. So it has been a very long journey of me not tuning into these. And the past few years, I started writing songs end of 2023 after having a random conversation at a Bitcoin conference. They told me that I should start writing things down. So I did. And then music found me in that process because I like to sing, and things where you have random conversations that lead you to this path. And I was genuinely looking for a way to express myself. I was looking for love for myself. Being at the right age and being a Bitcoiner, wanting to be low time preference, that was the natural next step. But I was, at the same time, I was suffering. I was asking questions. I was not yet sure who I was or what I wanted while I was on the journey of looking for love. So as you could kind of anticipate, there's a lot of moving parts, there's a lot of chaos going on in that process, and the songs and the emotions and the melodies kind of crystallized in that process.
So a few years of songwriting in this Bitcoin space and a few years of looking for love. We love the music. Have you found the love yet?
Oh, I have found love in that process. And I think it's the ultimate love. It's the kindness we sometimes extend to ourselves. And this was almost one of the biggest lessons I learned in this journey, is that we need to really begin from loving ourselves, respecting mm-hmm. ourselves before we move on to loving others. And sometimes we, yeah. and because if we love others with the portion or with the energy that we're supposed to love ourselves, it can work, but not, it's not sustainable because you're loving someone at a yeah. deficit. Yeah. And it should be what I've learned in this process. It's better to have so much self-love. That's not egotistic. It's not being narcissistic about it. Although it could be appearing sometimes narcissistic or, right. Yeah. So, but it's not a narcissistic thing. Self-love, if we have so much of self-love and the self-love is overflowing, then we can love others and love the world with the overflowing portion of the love and spreading that love and healing energy. And this is what I really hope to do as an artist. And this is why I'm really trying to push the message of love is the cure in my artistry, because that's really what I've realized. And in the quest of looking for love, and I've realized that's really the cure. Surprise, surprise. And I wish that my voice and my story and my documentation in that process can help people ask the right type of questions, or it can help them with their self-reflection to help them get over terrible heartbreaks or finally take the leap of faith to find the people that they love. So that's my essence of the love is the cure.
Hey, that's everything right there. If you can love yourself in such a kind of like a wealthy way, like Bitcoin is self-love. Like once you find Bitcoin, but you find what it's about. It's not just about like opening some kind of financial product account on your phone and saving in Bitcoin. Like it's when you realize that Bitcoin is about so much more, and it's about that low time preference. And for me, it's like about teaching my niece and nephew about Bitcoin when they're ready. You know, they're about 20, 21, 23 right now. And so I'm waiting for the day when they really grasp that it's a good thing. And that it's about long-term planning and planning for your future and planning for your family. And, you know, and hopefully they'll want to have kids and I'll be a great aunt. And that's all to, in the end, it creates more love in your life. I mean, it creates more love in your life every day, but it creates more love, more family. It brings more people into our lives. And when the kids have kids, I'm going to be so stoked. But then there will be like so much more love in the world. And we'll hopefully, you know, hopefully my values will somehow trickle down to my niece and nephew. And when they get married and have kids and get their own place to live, because they're still living with mom, hopefully it'll be, you know, we are creating more love in the world with Bitcoin, because I think part of that is your values do change and you do start to think for the long term and you do start to think, okay, like Bitcoin number go up, that's great, but I would like to, you know, use this money in a way that sustains rather than depletes. You know, I want to plan for a long term happy life where I do love myself and I'm not a slave to a financial system. Like there's so many layers here. Like I think what you just said is probably everything. Love is the cure, and Bitcoin and love are kind of the same, I don't know, frequency to me.
Yeah, for sure. I was just thinking about this earlier today over my coffee this morning, and I thought to myself, when we are trying to better ourselves and becoming this person that we're meant to become, the awareness and then the perspective, it's so interesting, because in love, like as a girl where you grow up with all these romantic like dreams, fantasies mm-hmm. that you have, like regardless of if you're a guy or a girl, right? And how yeah. do we know what's good for us? And it's the same thing with Bitcoin. Like, how do we know what kind of money do we need? It's the same thing. And if we think about what are we looking for in the sound money, or what are we looking for in love? Like, it's actually not that different. And they're very similar in the sense that the fact that you have money doesn't make you understand money. And then in love True. Is that the fact that you can spell love doesn't teach you how to love. So there's always this discrepancy and rabbit hole going on, and this is what makes it really, really interesting. So coming back to the point of how do we even know what's what's good for us. Because in love, we can say, today I think love is someone that we go rush in the ring and then we all get wet and then we're happy about it and like kids, right? But then you get sick for a week. Like, yeah. Is that good? Or do you go for someone who bring you umbrella, who give you warm soup and take care of you? Like, we need to know what is that thing that we want, both in society, in the money realm, or in love. So it really go hand in hand together.
Yeah, like I want to find someone who shares my values. I've had this conversation with another girlfriend in Bitcoin where we're dating, right? We're looking for that person. And my friend is still like, I really want to date a man who's in Bitcoin, a man who understands Bitcoin, who has gone all in on Bitcoin and therefore understands all of the principles, all the ethos, all of the, you know, everything from low time preference to like, let's stay in and stack sats and just all of the different things that kind of like become Bitcoiner things in the way you spend your life, which is, I think, the opposite of the mainstream kind of average lifestyle of I work my job, I complain about it, I go home, I eat something horrible and watch Netflix. I think that's kind of our like Bitcoiner point of view of how we think everybody else is, because we were those people at one point. And so I said to my girlfriend, I said, you know, I don't know that I need to date a Bitcoin man, because I think in the end, we're all going to be Bitcoiners, right? Like maybe not the end. I guess that's at some point we're going to hit hyper Bitcoinization and we're all going to be Bitcoiners. And probably anybody I date at some level is going to be a Bitcoiner or maybe a, you know, pre-coiner or maybe somebody who's open to being orange pilled or somebody who's like, hey, explain to me how your life works. You've got a Bitcoin podcast or three or four of them. And you've got like, you work in Bitcoin and you save in Bitcoin and you sound like a crazy person. You know, hopefully I don't still sound like a crazy person. Hopefully I don't still sound like a zealot to the uninitiated, but I kind of imagine that we're going to get to a point any day now, any year now, where anybody I date is probably more than likely a Bitcoiner. Or at least close to it, at least open to it. Does that make sense to you? Like, would you have to, if you're single, you don't have to say if you are, do you have to date somebody who is a Bitcoiner, or can we leave it to nuance and be kind of open to dating people knowing that at some point everyone's going to become a Bitcoiner? At least that's what I think anyway.
Right. Well, first, I'm not sure if everybody's is going to become a Bitcoiner. Like that's the first thing. And if you think about how early we are in Bitcoin and how internet was back then in 1996 or something, like back then you had internet conferences. You had these people, geeks, coming together to talk about this and really, really looking forward to the future. Just like today, Bitcoiners get together to Bitcoin conferences. And today, like many of us, almost all of us in societies or majority of the postmodern individuals are online to a certain degree. But can we say that we're fundamentally into internet? Can we say that we stand by the easels that the internet represents back then, like, which I don't even know what those are now? Like, I wouldn't say that I'm an interneter. Like, I wouldn't say that while I use net to the extent that I do, right? And I feel like in the future we will people who you actively use Bitcoin every single day without knowing there's Bitcoin in it. Like now we see Noster, and maybe everybody joined Noster and they may not know at first, what is Zap? And that's Bitcoin. And maybe zapping each other without what's really going on there. So I don't really necessarily call these people Bitcoiners, because I do feel like there's this spiritual or mentality threshold for Bitcoiners to cross to qualify as one, at least for everybody's definition, right? Like they can have different definitions where they get to cross that threshold and become a Bitcoiner. And so that's the first thing. And this is why I oftentimes leave it to nuances, because we're complicated beings and Bitcoiners are very different. And when I first, when I was maybe earlier on in this space, when I first realized how amazing Bitcoin was and first started to meet Bitcoiners, I was like, wow, Bitcoiners are so much better than average. Like the men in Bitcoin space are much, much better than the average at a random place, which I still stand by this argument. It's really true. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that everybody in Bitcoin is going to be my Prince Charming. Like it's just not going to happen. Because they're humans, they're coming from different backgrounds, they have different family history, personality, experience. And this is even more so in Bitcoin because everybody is really diverse, really coming from different place. And that's even more place for nuance. And I'm the type of person who love to experience and explore people's universe. I love the fact that people are layered beings. We have different sides of us, and I'm really willing to take the time to explore if I'm intrigued enough. And if you only have one side, which is a Bitcoiner, and you evolve your own identity around that, and you really, really identify with that, and for me, that's a flag too.
Yeah, like Bitcoin cannot be your entire personality. I know it is for a lot of people in this space, but I think we came to Bitcoin through multifaceted ways, and we stay, I think, for multifaceted ways. I think Bitcoin is one of those things in life. Like, to me, Bitcoin is on par with yoga. Like, Bitcoin and yoga and music too. These are things I love that I'm probably not going to get tired of. I'm not going to get tired of learning about Bitcoin and like practicing Bitcoin the same way as I'm not going to get tired of learning and practicing yoga. And I'm not going to get tired of music ever. I'm not going to just listen to the same songs for the rest of my life. I'm going to keep exploring new music, new genres, new artists. Like, I'm not going to get tired of those kinds of things. And yeah, there's going to be like downturns, right? Like, there's going to be times when maybe I get into a music rut or a yoga rut, or Bitcoin is in a bear market or whatever, but I'm not going to quit because of it. I'm going to keep, you know, pursuing it. These have become passions, but they're not my whole personality. I do other things too. Like I'm sure you do as well. You do other things besides Bitcoin, if you wanted to share.
So I would say music is the biggest part where I'm spending increasingly more of my time reflecting on it, trying to be better technically, because I came from a really not technical at all, just hearing melodies in my head, trying to write it down before I forget it type of approach. Mm-hmm. And now that I really believe in my vision and I want to help the community, Bitcoiner or not, because everybody is traumatized. It's not like I'm only trying to help Bitcoiners. That's not true. So music is one of the biggest kind of arenas where I'm exploring right now, to write about love, sing about love, for Bitcoiners and beyond. And I say this to myself, like, if you hear Beyonce's songs, her style is very much you don't deserve my tears, like this vibe, like very boss lady and very empowering, and you don't deserve my tear. But I feel like Ivy Lumi is kind of taking on a different approach. It's where she's saying, "I cry for you."
Ivy has a lot of feelings. Ivy's got depth, and I can hear it in your voice too when I'm listening to your music, and hearing it in the range of your voice. And there are times when your voice is a little high on as it is in the melodies, and then there's times when like you go a little deeper, and I can just, there is a soul in your voice that I really, really like too, because it's, you kind of, you don't see it coming, you know, it kind of sneaks up, because like Wow 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 is one of those examples where the song kind of starts out and you're like in an upper register, and then as it keeps going, like, you get that little bit of deepness, that little bit of soul, like you can feel it coming out. And that's what's kind of cool.
Wow. That's really amazing to hear. Thank you so much for sharing.
It's an energy in music. And I like how you, like, Bitcoin came to you, I think. And then the music came to you also, kind of like this journey's gone on like the past 5 or 6 years since you started working in Bitcoin, and then it automatically kind of informed your music and comes out in your music. Like, of course you've probably fell hard and fast in love with Bitcoin because of your work or your day job, but also it just seems like it was kind of like a natural thing to embrace music in the way that you have, and putting your music, it's on Fountain, and it's, you've got a Geyser fund going, and it just seems like this is so perfect and so natural that your music would come out, and then you're bringing it into the Bitcoin space and just kind of showing what is possible for a music artist to, you know, earn in Bitcoin and support your music in Bitcoin. Like, how did you kind of, I guess, choose? Like, did you choose to come to Fountain first? Or did you know about it because you're a podcaster?
Right. I would say yes. I started connecting with Fountain during my podcast days, and I had Nick, one of the co-founder from Fountain, came on my show as an early guest. So I was aware of the value for value concept going on. And when I was starting to write music, none of this was planned. It was really, when I was starting writing songs, I was at a low point in my life. I was in the year where I really lost everything. Like, my mom was getting really, really sick. I was breaking up from my long-term relationship of 5-6 years. And then I lost my job. And then the three of these things, like, they kind of happened in the period of 2 months. It's like overnight I changed a place to live, and all of the legs that I was previously standing on and building myself on were like completely collapsing. And back then, and then I was like out of a job. I was I was paying for myself, just getting by, selling Bitcoin on the way down, because, you know, it's just part of life. But even back then, I knew that it's going to be ultimately an opportunity. And I really, really enjoyed very much the time I was unemployed, and then like watching my net worth going down, because I was really taking care of myself. I was making an intentional choice. I was cooking every day. I was going to the gym every day. I went out for walks every day. By the time I was still unemployed and I went home, and my dad was like, they had no idea. Like, I never told them this happened. So in their head, I was like working all the time. And I went home, and my dad's like, you've been away for 10 years, and this is the time you look the best. And I was like, little do you know that it's the glow is coming from unemployment. Of course, I didn't say that, but I was like,
vibe with that. But yeah,
for sure. But it was really the time that I recognized, okay, like, I can take care of myself, and I should be taking care of myself, and I should take this opportunity to rest, because it's not going to be like this forever. And I will be busy again. And I will be thinking that, oh, I should be taking the time to rest. So I was really happy that it was the case. And the music kind of came from in that process, where I was really trying to figure things out myself. And it was during a time that I was intensely traveling here and there. And I would have these, go through these stories, have these interactions and conversations, and with whatever I was struggling with at the time, right? And with the impression of that space. So in the EP, there were a few songs that was written after specific trips. There's the trip to Berlin, there's the trip to Amsterdam, there's the trip to Madeira. Like, those are all... I took these trips for Bitcoin, because I traveled for work, and then I lingered because I was there. I may as well take a break to explore. And then the song came that way. So there's a lot, because of my involvement in Bitcoin, there's a lot of context of the stories behind and the locations of these songs. And I wish for whoever have traveled to these places for Bitcoin conferences or your personal reasons, if you hear these songs that are constructed in a certain place, I hope you get to pick up a little bit of the vibe of that place, because that's what I was trying to capture too.
Very cool. Okay, so wait, which song was which city? You mentioned Berlin and Madeira, and where else?
And Amsterdam, Prague, like, there are a lot of these trips are linked to different parts of the world that I traveled to for Bitcoin.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because there's the songs are okay. So Berliner Luft, that's got to be a song about Berlin, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So the Way You Are Only Human. Okay. This is your most streamed track, I think. And which city would that be connected to?
That's, that didn't really have not all of the songs come from trips. So So there were a few that I took inspirations, and there were a few that I drew inspiration from the diary over a course of time. So and then overlaps with some of the trips. So they all come slightly different sources.
Okay. Does The Cure have a city tied to it?
No, The Cure doesn't have. The Cure was actually the first song I wrote.
Oh, cool. Okay, so we're getting some of the behind the scenes here. Okay, so No Time in Madeira has obviously got to be connected to Madeira.
Yes.
And then Follow the Wise Rabbit. The longest song.
That's what I wrote after Prague. Yes.
That's after Prague. Okay, cool. Okay, so that Prague inspired Follow the Wise Rabbit.
Yes.
That is very cool. Okay, so that's now I'm getting a little behind the scenes. Like you could, if you're traveling to Bitcoin conferences, you now have kind of the official Bitcoin conference soundtrack. I love that. I did not know that. That's very cool.
And you know how people go to different places and they build playlists while they're traveling to, and then whenever they listen to that playlist in the future, it bring back their memory and sometimes do the same thing with smells and like perfumes and food and sound. And yeah, like I just find it, I'm extremely, extremely grateful for having the ability to make my own time capsule, basically.
I love it. I should add that you're, you know, you're a real musician. You're not making like AI assisted music. Like you actually know what you're doing. Like you play keyboard, correct?
Yes. I play keyboard. I started as a kid and then I started doing piano for a number of years. But I've always been a crappy instrument player. Like I've never been any good. That's why for decades I was like, I really love music. I like to sing, but I guess I'm just not that talented over here. I will be an admirer of music. But it was really when I started writing songs, I realized that was really something I was meant to do.
Everything kind of came to you like, I guess from, maybe this is true, maybe this is not true. It just seems like everything came pouring in after you got into Bitcoin or after Bitcoin found you. Does that sound right?
I would say so. But I would also say that I'm in this very process, I've always been a very, very open person. I know my perceptor is not my knowledge. Like I know that I'm not navigating in this world from a fact-based perspective. So I really acknowledge on the fact that I don't know enough about anything. And my sensor, my way of navigating in this world is really emotions and the senses and the emotional response that like the world triggers in me and then vice versa. So it's been a great journey learning about myself and learning about the world. And to stay open in that process, it means I was able to really reflect on the random conversations I had. And I'm a deterministic person. I don't know about you, but I'm deterministic. So everything happens. I believe that everything happens for a reason, for the better. Mm-hmm. So I try to look into the meaning or the intention behind each random interaction, random conversation, and see what is this conversation trying to tell me that will be helpful for me? Like, what do I need to know? Why this happened now? What do I need to know here? So I'm constantly asking myself these questions, and I am not too proud to be a student. And where being Asian has really helped me because growing up, I'm a good student. I've always studied. And this is how, as an Asian kid, I get a little bit more chance and time to play. So if I were a good student at school, if I were to be top of my class, then I have a little bit more flexibility at home in terms of how much I can play, how much I can be on my computer, the lens of my hair, for example. Because in school, you're supposed to have short hair and at a certain length. And you could get in trouble as a girl if you have long hair because they don't want you to be focusing on beauty as a teenager. But because I had good grades, like nobody cared. Like it's these things. And I would try to get a little bit more privilege, a little bit more freedom as a good student. And that has helped me help with humility, I guess, of taking advice from people and listening to them and actually do what they say. I think that's important.
The beginner mindset is so important. I never want to be the smartest person in the room. Like I never want to say, oh, I already know that, you know, like mansplaining is a different thing, but I never want to feel like I know everything because then what is left? You know, I think everybody can teach me something. Even maybe people I don't like so much even have something to teach me. Everything is a teacher. Everything in life is a teacher. And if you can kind of like, you know, bring it back to love, if you love yourself and you don't identify so much in your ego, then you can absolutely be open to, you know, even taking criticism, you know, everything's information. Like if you just look at things and go, okay, maybe that hurts my ego a little bit. maybe it hurts my feelings, but that's information. It's information I can use. And I stay like moldable and flexible rather than just like, you know, like I can't look in any other direction, right? It's got to be my way or the highway. Like it's life is so much less fun if you get into that control freak, like black and white thinking mode. And I think Bitcoiners are some of the best thinkers. I mean, we question everything. And so like, it's just so refreshing for somebody to say, hey, I'd rather be humble, you know, because we say that a lot in Bitcoin. We say we're going to stay humble and stack sats, but you know, not everybody's good at the humble part.
But at the same time, I find myself struggling on the control freak aspect too, because I am I am very particular, and I feel like you kind of need to be with your craft. Like you need to be very particular and know what you want and know to not cave on anything lesser than that. And you need, there's certain type of paranoia that you kind of need to go into that direction. But there's a healthy balance, and I find myself struggling on this front too. Because on one hand, I'm a very bipolar person, and I have friends describing me as you are extremes between fine lines. And I agree because I'm really like that. And it's a lot of the songs, the music, and what I'm doing is very much about duality. And it's about the message that it's not about either or, it's that it's both and. And it's really two things at the same time. And it's because there's only one thing, and it's just the two sides of the one thing. And there's not even necessarily good or bad about that. So I think that awareness have also helped me in the past.
Yeah, as we mature, we get out of the black and white either or thinking, and we get into more gray areas, and we grow a little tolerance, hopefully, as we get older. Not everybody does, but hopefully that's my goal anyways, be like a little bit more laid back with each passing year. Now you've got if you're just tuning in, Ivy Lumi, this is the guest this week on Radio Detox. I think she is very detoxed from the fiat system and also the fiat music system. Like I imagine you probably have your music on places like Apple and Spotify, like just because you kind of probably just do.
Well, yeah, because that's a very specific approach that I've decided to take. Like I said, I'm not here. Ivy Lumi is not just here to heal Bitcoiners. And I'm here for everybody. And I don't want to like discriminate against if you're not a Bitcoiner. I'm not going to bother with my healing message. I'm not going to be that. Right. So and then. And I understand there's this purity purity preference going on, I guess. And sometimes I post, there was one time I posted a Wah 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 music video on Noster. And because right now Noster doesn't allow you to upload file up to a certain size, like that was my only option to paste a YouTube video. And there were people commenting on, oh, this is decentralized platform and you're posting YouTube link, like what the heck? And I get that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I am here to focus on building, and I'm here to build for everyone. And I don't want to make the distinction and waste my energy on deciding I'm going to give to you or not you. And it's here. And if you resonate with my music, I believe the universe will find you a way to Ivy Lumi, regardless.
Yeah, don't let the purists drag you down. I mean, there is a lot of that on Noster, and I think it's a very lowbrow energy. I think it's a very low vibe energy of like every artist still is on traditional platforms. Leave them alone. It's part of the gig. It's part of the music business. You will be on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, or you know, some combination of them. And it doesn't mean that we like being there. You know, it doesn't mean we're having a good time there. Every day I have to worry about all my YouTube channels and copyright strikes, whether I deserve them or not. You know, there's no recourse if you get one. And it doesn't matter if you did a bad thing and violated a copyright or not. It's just that if you get a strike, anybody can do that and try to take you down. And so I just kind of like wait for the day when YouTube takes down, you know, one of my channels. But for the time being, you know, myself as a creator, a lot of people as creators are still doing you know, a foot, I think, in both worlds where, yeah, you're going to be on YouTube and yeah, you're going to share a link to a YouTube video on Noster. And anybody who gets mad about that is probably, to me, in my opinion, focused on the wrong things. You know, Ivy Lumi has got great art, and that's what we should be focusing on, is her good music. And the fact that you actually, you're in this ecosystem, you do a lot around here in the Bitcoin world. And I think it's great to, you're a Bitcoiner who is on Noster. People should just be happy about that. And you also are using Geyser to fundraise for your campaign right now. And I think this is so cool because now I can support you and all the rest of the artists that I love on Fountain and or Wavelake and or Noster. Like I can just zap whatever you post on Noster. I can listen to your podcast. I can zap you there. I can listen to your music. I can zap Boost there. And then like what I did today, I got on Geyser, and I love that you've got this Geyser page, this Geyser fund. And people can contribute, which I highly recommend. I contributed today. So, you know, I put my sats where my mouth is. And one of the things that I thought was so interesting about your Geyser page is you're actually, you have 16 days left on the day we're recording this, on Thursday, March 5th. So she's got a little more, you know, than 2 weeks to go. Your Geyser fund is actually, you're not asking for that much. You're asking for 500,000 sats, which is about $357. That's not even that much. I think people should be running to fund your Geyser campaign right now.
I'm trying to make it, the whole concept is love is the cure, right? And then I really want to make something that you can hold on to, like a little reminder. And I feel like we need these little manifests of love, these little reminders, and it can be anything, really. It can be a note, it can be a card, it can be a keychain, it can be a necklace, but it's really about, can you see something and get reminded that first, you are loved, second, that you're enough, and third, that there's still so much more in the world to explore. So get up and feel positive, like don't soak over whatever, and go out and explore. And there's so much love and light and hope outside, and let's not focus on the bad things only. So it's really about how can I create something that's connected to my music and my message, and for some people, something people can hold on to. Because with everything being deepfake, more and more AI generated, more and more isolated, we need these little things as humans to hold on to. So you can see in the Geyser campaign, there's a lot of things going on there. I really, along with the original EP, The Cure, there's a I released a line of six pin collection. It's a pin collection with six pins, with five pins generated from the Cure EP and one pin of my logo. These songs are designed by my creative director, F-Zero. It's collaboration with him. And then these songs are coming from the essence of the songs of the Cure EP. So the catalog we went through, you asked me, where did you write these? Each of them is now a that you can hold on to that has some essence of the song attached. And then on top of that, I also have a CD recording five songs from the Cure EP, as well as two bonus singles that I have released ever since.
I love this. Everybody's got to get in on this, because first of all, Geyser does these campaigns, and they are all or nothing campaigns. So we've got to fund her. Yeah, otherwise I get my money back, and I don't want my money back. I want it to go to you and to your funding. But also, these are kind of collector's items. And I don't know about you or anybody else listening, but I'm going to assume Radio Detox listeners are all about not just being able to contribute to something that helps artists like Bitcoin does, like Noster does, like Geyser Fund does, like Fountain, Wave, like this whole ecosystem that we've been building for years now. Like, I know people want to support that, but also, like, you got a little collectible here. Like, this is fun. Like, I got a Noster badge, and like, I can go back. I can get one of these collectible pins, which are really cute, by the way. I love this one where it's like it's a clock, and every part of the clock says now instead of a number, because the time is now. Do these reflect individual songs, or just is it just part of your, I don't know, your aesthetic, your vibe?
It's actually it's from an individual song. Guess which?
Okay. So now the one with the clock that says now on every number would be, I'm going to guess, No Time in Madeira.
That's the wrong answer.
Dang it.
The song behind this is Follow the Wise Rabbit. And if you look at the pin,
okay,
the clock, the inside of the clock is the historical clock in Prague.
Oh, the famous. Okay, so this is cool. Okay, so folks are really going to love getting a little piece of Ivy Lumi, and not just your music, but your creativity overall, and that there's actually a story behind all this. This is what we've been missing, I think. I think mainstream artists, like the big ones, like Taylor Swift does this kind of thing, right? Where like she has eras and there's a whole story behind it, and then people buy tickets to her shows and they show up dressed up in, you know, certain era related outfits. So like this is kind of like that, where like we feel like we're really true fans. Like we know you through your music, like we know your music, and we just kind of like get that opportunity to have that relationship as fans. Like, do you, because you're releasing your music in the Valueverse, do you feel like you're having that good peer-to-peer, like one-to-one relationship with your fans? Like, do you actually know the people who are listening to your music?
Yeah, I'm starting to have that, because I'm such a new mm-hmm. artist, and I'm not previously in the music industry. I'm just, for me, it started as something to document and for something to reflect on myself. And then it became something that, wow, maybe I can heal more people through these. And in this very, till this very day, I'm every single day in the process of becoming Ivy Lumi, because what she represents and what she could represent for Bitcoiners, for Bitcoiner and beyond, I want to help through that vessel. And it's interesting you mentioned Taylor Swift, because I was thinking to myself, we have Bitcoin artists, we have Bitcoin musicians sing about Bitcoin at Bitcoin conferences, and it's a blast. And I always love this experience, bringing people together, and we need that. But at the same time, how about the other people? How about people who are not into technology, not into finance, but they may be the people who need Bitcoin the most? Because if I get to save $5 a month, I'm not going to have the bandwidth to think about generational wealth, no matter what you say about Bitcoin becoming general. Like, it's just not relevant. I have $5 to save, and I have all these obligations, right? It's just not realistic. So how can we, I'm trying to reach these people through love, and it's a daily practice, really.
Love and music, and it all goes together. If you could create a concert, I guess, from artists who are in the Valueverse, it doesn't have to be people who are like super crazy Nostr people or super into Bitcoin, like any music that you have listen to that's, you know, independent in the Valueverse, maybe some artists that you know or would want to perform with, and do like a live concert, maybe at one of these conferences, maybe somewhere else. But like, what would your dream lineup be, your dream concert, anywhere in the world, any musicians that you could perform with? Because of course you would be on the bill.
That's a good question. I want to be performing with my friends. Over the past couple years, in the process of becoming a musician in the Bitcoin space, I would say is really the best thing, because we already have so many great artists that support the initiatives around value for value, are really operating on that vein and are creating incredible art. And I've learned so much from them in the past couple years. So my dream lineup would be to perform with my friends as a musician, because before I was only being there as a participant, right? I'm only starting to line up and trying to get live gigs with events just starting now.
Cool.
With a million things in the pipeline and not much help, right? So if your event is interested, hit me up, and I would love to find ways to collaborate with communities in the space, and even beyond Bitcoin space. Like I said, I'm here to not here just for Bitcoiners.
Yeah, she's here for music and everything else. Well, here for love, but, you know, here for all of this wonderful creativity. And, you know, what do you think of Nostr? I know you like Nostr. I know you told Avi on PlebChain Radio that you probably spend more time on Nostr than Twitter these days.
Oh, that's 100% true. And I was looking at my feed on Twitter. I was like, I really don't feel bad of ditching my existing community Twitter
really?
To switch Noster. Nobody's on there, and I get I really enjoy the crowd of Noster. I now have some supporters. They've been following my work for a while, so really shout out to you guys. You know you're who, and every day with the interaction of Noster and how clear the value is signaled, I'm more bullish and more hopeful every day building on Noster. Yeah.
Yay. Are you into vibe coding at all? I mean, you mentioned building on Noster. Are you into any of that, or are you just there to like hang out and use it for, you know, social things and music things?
I wouldn't say I'm a coder, and I know it's a interesting rabbit hole I'm yet to explore, and I'm a little bit scared to go on that rabbit hole because there's so many other things going on. I'm really trying to be mindful of the priority here, and I want to remain kind of authentic as much as possible in the music and lean into that a bit more. So maybe one day I feel like I would be into that, just because everybody will have to.
Yeah, the next time you ever have some downtime, like, we certainly don't want you to be unemployed ever again. But, you know, if you ever have like some vacation time, you know, just some time to go down the vibe coding rabbit hole, it would actually be interesting to see, you know, what someone like yourself, who is well-versed in Bitcoin and well-versed in Noster and music and, you know, the value verse or value for value, whatever we want to call it. It would be interesting to see what you might vibe code and like what you might come up with. Like, would you come up with a music thing or just something else? Like, that's always what interests me about what people come up with, because it's really another tool for creativity. And like, gosh, nobody is as creative as someone who makes music. You know, that's, you guys are the best. Like, it's not just like, it's a gift. Like, you have a gift. I cannot sing like you do. I cannot come up with melodies like you do. And everything you put out, from the way you set up your Geyser campaign and have these pins that go with your songs, to the wow, wow, wow music video. Like, you're just pure creativity, Ivy. We love this. We need more. We need about 100 more of you in this space, at least.
Yes, please. And this is not a solo effort. I have a small yet very good team, and I have a few really good and close collaborators who have always been there for me whenever I needed it. They've been supporting my music journey from the very beginning. So it is a community effort. And in the end, the journey of me becoming Ivy Lumi is more than one person stepping up to write songs. It's about how her and her community can come together and heal the world through love and hope. And this is my, you may think that this is a real like lunatic thing to say, but this is my real ambition is. And if we think about how mainstream artists come out, and Taylor Swift come out and say, I'm getting married, and how the Twitter just broke down over that. Like, what if we have something, what if we have an artist mainstream on a global scale come out and say, I'm into Bitcoin? Like, what will happen then?
Oh, and God. Because it'd be great.
Yeah, exactly, right? So we need to do that now as Bitcoiners, as a collective.
We really do. And like, I know that there are some artists out there who are kind of mainstream or extremely mainstream. And behind the scenes, they're Bitcoiners. But mainstream-wise, that it's still, they're told by their managers, you know, hey, you don't want to mention that word. Or like, if you say Bitcoin on Instagram, that's kind of a result in an instant shadow. And, you know, like, I haven't experienced that yet with Bitcoin content on YouTube. Like, look, Bitcoiners are doing great on YouTube, right? Shout out to people who are doing great, like Walker or BTC Sessions. I think one or both of them have had their stuff taken down, too. Like, and certainly Simply Bitcoin has had their stuff taken down, too. And you know, they give you no recourse. They don't tell you why. You can just kind of guess. You know, I bet they got taken down because they mentioned Bitcoin or they mentioned some other thing. And so, like, that's why I say I'm just waiting to be taken down at some point. And I see people get their accounts back, but, you know, you go down for like 3 weeks or whatever while you try to work with YouTube, Meta, Google, whoever's taking you down. I've certainly had my Instagram taken down once too. Not for anything I said, But because somebody reported me dead, and I'm sure there was another person with my name who actually probably did pass away, but I got taken down for a few weeks on my Instagram. And that was 2019. And that's sort of where I started to fall out of love with the big tech, with the mainstream legacy platforms. But we didn't have an alternative yet in 2019, like we do now with Noster. And so every once in a while, I like to ask a guest like yourself, who is passionate about Noster and you like Noster. So I want to know if you have any thoughts about what must we do to ensure that Noster cannot fail?
I would say it's the same thing for everywhere. It goes beyond Noster, just people extending kindness to themselves and others. Because I get it. Like you don't see the person, and we are having all these heated conversations because the world is chaotic and truth is chaotic. But can we not lose ourselves in that process? Have like come from a place of kindness, not I'm right, you're not. Like the reason why I have been able to lean into my creative practice is because No, I'm not right. I know that I don't know enough. And I'm open to be proven wrong. I'm open to get hurt. And I remember a lot of these songs were written in a time where I was leaning into the heartbreaks. I was leaning into suffering because I wanted to get to the bottom of this to know what do I need in love. And I think we need to, on Noster or beyond, we need to allow ourselves to be more uncomfortable for once.
Like, be wrong.
Lean
like,
into that discomfort. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't be so argumentative. Like, let someone correct you or let someone challenge you. You know, like, not every opinion I have is correct. You know, I'm sometimes stuck in my ways. Like, I get it. I'll die on a hill. I'll have a strong opinion about something. But is it just based on a feeling, or is it based on a fact? And if I, you know, need to be corrected, could there be a nice way to do it? You know, that's and I can do the same thing to other people. I can be nice and kind and loving too, and remember that our friend Ivy Lumi says love is the cure, and that we need to practice more kindness. We need more people like you. Can I duplicate you? Can I clone you? And get more folks like you in the Valueverse, and just get more people, you know, listening to you for sure, supporting on Geyser. And one of the things I love about Geyser is it works with Noster. So when I do support someone like Ivy Lumi on Geyser, that it's going to post to Noster for me, and people are going to be like, what's this? You know, like, what is she doing? Why is she supporting that? What is this? And hopefully, like, somebody else comes in and hears your music just because I, like, you know, did a little thing and made a little post and shared your music, and maybe more people will come to you because they listen to Radio Detox, and, you know, more people will find everything that you do, which is a lot. She does a lot around here, folks. We're concentrating on her music right now, because I think that's the most important message. I want to see your Geyser Fund campaign get fully funded. I want to see all the musicians' campaigns get fully funded. So people need to get on Geyser. Go find Ivy Lumi. Just, you know, click the zap button, folks. Just participate here. Her success means more success for more people. And that means growing the space and growing the ecosystem. And then, you know, maybe somebody watching this on YouTube or listening on Fountain hears this and goes, okay, she said we're early, but she's also a little bit ahead of me. And like, I really like her music. Maybe someday I can do what she's doing, and maybe we'll do a concert together somewhere. And it could be Hong Kong. It could be anywhere. But, you know, that's what I want. I want more people to hear this and go, that person is doing it, so I want to do it. Like, I could do what Ivy Lumi is doing. You know, that's what we need, because that would be so fun. Can you imagine Bitcoin conferences? If we're at Bitcoin conferences and there's a whole bunch of Ivy Lumis, and there's just a whole bunch of people who are like you, and we could have like a massive music festival at a Bitcoin conference, like you, Roger 9000, Ainsley Costello, Joe Martin. Like, I could just name off like dozens of people who would be excellent entertainers and really show off, you know, what we can do with Bitcoin, with Lightning, you know, with Noster, and how it all works together. Like, You're right. We're so early. I'm dreaming, though.
Totally. Culture, well, you're not dreaming. It's already happening. Culture is the way. And I always believe that while money is very, very base layer, culture is more base layer than money. And humanity is more base layer than culture. And when we come together, regardless of gender, race, and culture, and money or currencies, and what is feeding humanity? What is the fuel for humanity to survive? And I think that's how I ended up the answer of why love is really the cure, because without love, and I think of Bitcoin and love's relationship being this love can be this spark in our heart. And Bitcoin can be the electricity or the heat, like the moment of heat, and then it becomes a fire. But if you just have the fire, you're just going to end up, but the no spark, you're just end up burning everything down. Like there's a hand-in-hand relationship. And I feel like the test upon Bitcoiners are upon us with the world. Where the world is going and where Bitcoin is going. And I hope more people, Bitcoiner will not get to encounter your content and my content and start to ask themselves a few other questions in Bitcoin other than what is money, and start to think about who am I, what I'm here to do, and how can I help?
I love that. We're going to end it there. That was absolute perfection. That's a Bitcoiner right there. Having a great vision. That's what we do best in this community, is having a vision for things just being better, improving constantly. I love that. Thank you, Ivy Lumi. One of my best guests ever, I would say, and totally stoked about the music too. Going to be listening to this for a long time.
Yay. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much.